Good morning. First, I just want to thank you for welcoming me here this morning. I'm going to tell a story today about a horse. One day, the horse was leading all the gentle beasts of the forest from the old forest to the new forest, where there was more food to eat. It was a beautiful day, just like this one, outside, and the horse was prancing along, and everyone was following behind, and sometimes when the littler beasts got tired, they would climb up on horses' back, and she would give them a ride for a while. But then they came to a rushing river, and there was only a narrow log upon which to cross the river. Now, horse was in the lead, so horse stepped up onto the log, and then looked down at the river and could not go a step further. Horse was terrified. So she stepped back off and looked at goat, who was right behind her, and said, "Goat, you go first. You're lighter. You should go first." So goat hopped across and made it across very easily, and all the other beasts followed until the only one left on the one side of the river was horse. Now horse stood there contemplating for a few minutes, thinking, "Well, maybe I could swim across," but the current was swift and the waters looked icy, and all the other animals were watching and waiting. But horse could not go on. Now, the animals at the other side didn't know exactly what was going on with horse, so they started talking amongst themselves. "Horse has left us," said one of them. "Horse has found the best place and is going to keep it all for herself," said another. Then Beaver spoke up. "Horse is scared stiff." Now, the other animals could not believe this. How could horse, who was bigger and stronger than all of them, be scared of anything that they had already accomplished? So they waited a while longer to see what would happen, and finally Fox spoke up. He said, "Horse, are you thinking?" And horse said, yes. And Fox said, "Well, what are you thinking about?" And horse said, I'm thinking about the log." And Fox said, well, what about the log?" And horse said, "I am thinking that why are logs round? It would be so nice if they could be flat." Now, Fox spoke up again. "Horse, are you coming?" And horse said, "Well, I would come if I could come, but I can't." And Beaver said again, "Horse is scared stiff." Now, finally, the littlest animal, Little Mouse, spoke up. "Why don't we help horse across?" The other animals were confused. "We can't pull horse. We can't push horse. We can't carry horse." And Mouse said, wisely, "We can keep her company." So all the animals trooped back across the log to the other side of the river, and they lined up with horse right in the middle. And slow and slowly and slower and pause, they all made it across the log to the other side of the river. And that is how all the animals came from the old forest to the new forest, where they have been for quite some time. Which just goes to show that sometimes on the most important journeys, moments of fear and uncertainty come, when only the best care from others can get you through. Thank you.
gather this morning out of our separate lives. Some of us come carrying burdens of grief, worry, anger, and regret. Some of us come singing with the wonders of joy, gratitude, and hope. Wherever each of us is on our journey today, may we find comfort in the embrace of this community. May we find strength and support, a shoulder to lean on, a hand to hold. May we find courage in walking together. May we find hope in this communion of souls. So may it be, and amen. Today is an excerpt from Julian of Norwich's Showings of Divine Love, chapter 15. And after this he showed a sovereign ghostly pleasance in my soul. I was fulfilled with the everlasting sureness, mightily sustained without any painful dread. This feeling was so glad and so ghostly that I was in all peace and in rest, and there was nothing on earth that should have grieved me. This lasted but a while, and I was turned and left to myself in heaviness and weariness of my life, and irksomeness of myself that scarcely could have the patience to live. There was no comfort, nor none ease to me, but faith, hope, and charity. And these I had in truth, but little in feeling. And anon after this, our blessed Lord gave me again the comfort and the rest in soul, in satisfying and sureness, so blissful and so mighty, that no dread, no sorrow, no pain bodily that might be suffered should have distressed me. And then the pain showed again to my feeling, and then the joy and the pleasing, and now that one, diverse times. I suppose about 20 times. And in the time of joy, I might have said with St. Paul, nothing shall dispart me from the charity of Christ. And in the pain, I might have said with Peter, Lord, save me, I perish. You may have heard this one before. A man falls over the edge of a cliff, tumbling to near certain death. As he's falling, however, he manages to grab onto a tree that is growing out of the side of a cliff. So there he is, hanging only 15 feet from the top of the cliff, but a good 200 feet from the ground below. Uncertain of what more he can do at this point, he looks up and cries out for help. Is there anybody up there? To his astonishment, a gentle yet booming voice, which could only be that of God, he surmised, emanates from above with a reply for him. Let go. The man glances down again at the 200 feet drop below him, and then looks up again and cries out, Is there anybody else up there? Whenever I hear this joke, I wonder if perhaps this man is a Unitarian Universalist. We are very good at a lot of things, but we are very bad, often, at letting go. We are, for the most part, very bad at surrendering. The Christian mystics of medieval Europe, such as Julian of Norwich, who we just heard, were very good at surrendering. Or at least most of them were. I am reminded of a famous conversation in 1413 between two religious women, Julian of Norwich and Marjorie Kemp. Marjorie, the younger of the two, wrote about the visit in her memoir, and scholars love to imagine how it played out. Marjorie is often portrayed as coming to Julian in something of a dither, which has been said to be her typical state. Overwhelmed by all the suffering in the world, Julian replies calmly and serenely, reminding Marjorie that it is only love that never ends, and assuring her that all will be well. She responds as most medieval mystics would, with a deep trust in her experience of the profound love of God, and with deep trust that all you need to do is surrender yourself to that love, and all will be well. We know very little about Julian's life. Even her name is simply borrowed from the church to which she was attached, the Church of St. Julian in Norwich, England. As an anchoress, she lived in a closed-off room adjoining the church, with a window into the church so she could hear Mass, and a window into a parlor where people like Marjorie could come and seek her advice. While Julian lived as a recluse, she was privy to much of what was going on in the world through the stories told to her by visitors and all that she overheard living next to a busy road. It was a dark time in Britain with the plague raging across Europe and the Hundred Years' War taking its toll on British lives and British resources. Marjorie was not the only one who came to Julian overwhelmed with the suffering that surrounded her. Suffering was at the forefront of the stories that Julian heard and was the central theological problem for Julian. Just as many people have over the centuries, she looked around at the suffering in the world and could not seem to reconcile it with the loving God she had heard so much about. Her answer, and the answer she shared with Marjorie, came in a series of visions given to her in the midst of a life-threatening illness. Julian was shown how our suffering serves to unite us with Christ. She was shown that there must, of necessity, be sin, but in the end, love will triumph. Love will bring union with God. when her own suffering and the suffering that surrounded her brought her to her knees, she heard the famous words of assurance, "All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well." Trust in God. Surrender your worries and fears. Know you are surrounded by God's love. All will be well. Probably not something you hear in a UU church very often. For me, I know that the inability to surrender comes from a place of not knowing. Who is it then to whom I am supposed to surrender myself? If I let go, if that man on the cliff had let go, how can I know that there will be anyone there to catch me? What is rational? What is reasonable about letting go? The honest answer to that is very little, which is indeed the very point that Julian and other mystics have sought to make over the years. The way of the mystic is not reason or rationality. It is not about what you can know in your head, but what you experience and feel in your heart. Surrendering in the way the mystics teach is not the same as surrendering in battle. It's not an admission of failure or giving up on what you care about. Rather, it is an experience of profound trust, the sure knowledge in your heart, even if it does not always compute in your head, that you are not alone. It is the experience of being held, of trusting in someone or something else. When Julian tells us that all shall be well, she speaks not of an end to suffering, but of the surety that we do not suffer alone. For Julian, surrender is a process of oneing with Christ, is a process of coming into communion with the triune God through a Christ-like experience of both the trials and the beauty of human life. It is joining in communion with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Again, not a particularly Unitarian idea, but actually the path of surrender is widely accepted by the various religions of the world. There are many traditions that preach a similar course of action. Surrender to that power greater than yourself. Let go. Remember that you're not alone, and all will be well. While there is great comfort in such a theology, there is also great danger. A theology of surrender has been used far too often to justify oppression. The inherent flaw of believing that all will be well is that it implies that all is not well right now, and that somehow we should be okay with that. In situations of domestic violence, this might cause the partner that is being abused to stay, because all will be well eventually. It justifies wider oppression because we can say that they'll get their reward in the end. In seeking to offer comfort in the face of life's trials, a theology of surrender can actually serve to perpetuate those trials. It is a path to be walked with caution, for sure. And we UUs tend to deal with this by simply throwing it out altogether. Yet, perhaps we don't need to throw the proverbial baby out with the bathwater. I believe that we can reject the oppressive aspects of surrender without giving up on its redemptive message, the message that we are not alone. My senior year in high school, I was in a Catholic praise music band. It was perhaps not a typical thing for a UU teenager to do, but truth be told, I loved the music. I remember standing up there singing during Mass, thinking to myself, man, I don't believe a word of what I'm saying. But I kind of wish I did. It was not the language of Jesus loves me and I love him that I found compelling, but the ever-present theme of surrender. No matter how tough life may seem, we don't have to do it alone. We are held and loved, nurtured and strengthened, guided by an invisible hand on our journeys through life. We'd sing things like, I am thankful that I'm incapable of doing any good on my own. And, Lord, I surrender and I give my life. It was so very different from the staunch self-reliance that I had learned about in UU religious education. We read stories of great men and women who had done great things to make the world a better place. These were people who had worked long and hard to do good. It certainly did not seem to me that they were incapable of doing any good on their own. Rather than learning that there was a higher power that we could count on to guide us, we learned about the Unitarian ideal of self-improvement. We were fully responsible for our actions and for making ourselves into more whole and more perfect human beings. We were fully responsible for working to heal our broken world. What a task! It often felt to me that the weight of the entire world was on my shoulders. Somehow self-reliance and self-improvement got translated in my head to mean that I alone was somehow responsible for changing the world, and that self-improvement to the state of perfection was somehow a necessary and yet seemingly impossible task. It was no wonder that I found those messages of surrender in those Christian praise songs so compelling. What those Sunday school teachers forgot to teach us, and perhaps this is because it is something that cannot be taught, is that even if there is no higher power to guide us, we are not alone on this journey we call life. We are not alone on our striving to become more whole as individuals. We are not alone in our struggle for justice and peace. We are not alone in this world. Indeed, we are not single, solitary souls walking this path with no one beside us. Human beings are inherently relational, inherently connected, inherently in communion with one another, you might say. Whether it be communion with the triune God or the communion of our common humanity in relationship, the message remains the same. We are together in this life, together in our suffering, together in our joy, together in our love, and together in our pain. Sometimes, especially in our moments of feeling the weight of the world on our shoulders, we do just need to surrender to this knowledge. The knowledge that we don't have to do it alone. As my faith has matured, I have begun to realize that I don't need to be jealous of those who believe in the words of the Christian praise songs. I just need to do a little translating. Our UU tradition gives us a profound faith in community. We come together in community to support each other on our spiritual journeys and on our life journeys. We come together not under the illusion that we all agree on everything or that our relationships will always be perfect, but with the faith that we are stronger together. We come together with the faith that our lives and our work in this world will be better because we journey together. When we talk about surrender as UUs, it is about relationship and vulnerability. Two things that are essential to building the beloved community. The Sufi poet and mystic Rumi writes, "Very little grows on jagged rock. Be ground, be crumpled, so that wildflowers will come up where you are." In this, I hear a call to open ourselves up, to trust the possibility of relationship. Without that trust, without surrendering to the unknown, we cannot build relationship. We isolate ourselves, sometimes unaware that thinking we are alone often makes it so. Rumi goes on to say, "You've been stony for too many years. Try something different. Surrender. Try something different. Trust in the communion of our common humanity. Trust in the relationships that keep you whole. Try something different. Know you are held. Know you are surrounded by love. Try something different. Let go. surrender. All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. Try something different. Know that you are not alone. May it be so. May we go now in peace to meet the day, nurtured in love, renewed in faith, refreshed in spirit, our hearts blessed by this sacred community. So may it be.
Yeah.